Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Late night, midnight on the interstate. I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. Michael Russo here from Seattle. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. My guest today, Nico Sturm. Man, what a great, great interview. I sat down with him this afternoon at the team hotel here in Seattle, and he was just... I think you all will absolutely love the interview and just how well spoken he is. And we talk everything from hockey to really fun stuff about his native Germany as well. Great, great Twitter questions this week, and I really appreciate it because, frankly, a lot of the Twitter questions made for a really fun sit down, a really fun interview with a really, really good hockey player. And wait till the end of the podcast too, because he talks a lot about his future and how he hopes to stay in Minnesota, but he also understands the financials are something that could be make that very, very tough. If you are not a subscriber to The Athletic, theathletic.com/straightfromthesource will get you in for a discount. Really recommend you joining now, especially with the Wild playing well. They're 5-1 this season, 3-0 on the road, and 5-0 in one goal games. And, just playing really well. They looked like the bigger, faster team on Tuesday night against the Vancouver Canucks in their victory to put the Sunday stinker against the Nashville Predators behind them. They just have so much depth. I mean, if you think about it, Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov have a one combined goal in six games, yet the team is 5-1 because they're getting goals and points up and down their lineup from defensemen, from depth players. You have Dean Evason throwing the fourth line on late in games constantly. You saw Nico Sturm yesterday win a huge draw down the stretch that really kept Demko from getting to the bench. So they're playing really, really well. Well, now adversity is going to start to strike here. I wrote about the COVID issue in Tuesday's Athletic and how Bill Guerin had COVID-19, how assistant coach Darby Hendrickson and goalie coach Freddie Shabbat and video coach TJ Jindra are not on the trip because they have COVID. The Wild were hoping to contain that just with the staff. Obviously, that became an issue today. We get to Seattle. I get to the hotel. I begin sort of my work for the day, and 30 minutes before practice, as I was about to get into a lift and go down to Climate Pledge Arena, we get a text from the team saying practice has been canceled, that today is a full team rest day. And I knew that just, again, reporter instinct, that just made no sense to me. No team goes down to the rink, buses everybody down there, and then 30 minutes before practice cancels it. That just didn't make sense, especially a team that I know that has a COVID-19 issue. And today was a testing day as well, because they get tested every 3 days, and I knew they were tested before their flight to Vancouver. So I started to do some digging, and it became very apparent to me that they had some alarm bells going up with some of their tests this morning. I don't want to say the players' names yet because I don't know when this podcast is going to come out by our incredible producer, Jeff Domet. And we have a rule at The Athletic that we can't name names from players or staff that have COVID-19 until the team announces it or they announce it themselves. Now, the team will have to announce it on Thursday morning, but because I don't know when this podcast is going to be released and I don't know when the Wild are going to announce it, I won't say the players' names yet, but they are two forwards that have tested positive so far. And the Wild will recall, according to sources, Kyle Rau, Connor Dewar, and defenseman John Lizotte, sort of just in case there's more tests that come back positive tomorrow, because now the Wild will have to go into protocols where they're tested pretty much every day, I believe. And so the Wild don't know what's going to pop up in front of them tomorrow. But there are definitely two forwards that are going to be on that protocol list. One is a top six forward, and the other is a bottom six forward. And again, I don't want to give any hints, and I almost just did. So a little of adversity that the Wild's going to have to handle here. And the biggest thing is, will this be contained? I mean, we know about COVID-19, right? This invisible enemy that just sort of goes from person to person, highly contagious. Went to the staff, now it's going to the players. So you just hope that it's going to be stopped with two players. But as I think, as we all know, it's probably unlikely. So we'll see how it's going to happen. You know, obviously, it's been a little, you know, you got to be careful now around the team. Double masked, I can tell you from my standpoint. Man, it's just amazing that we're just dealing with this again. But, you know, back to the team, playing really well, hardworking. Great victory yesterday. They were just so much better structured in their own zone, better on the forecheck, got really good shifts down the stretch by the fourth line with Rem Pitlick getting his Wild debut with Nico Sturm and Brandon Newham. How about late in the game when the third line of Jordan Greenway, Marcus Foligno, and Ryan Hartman went out there and just ground the puck down low? And was just outstanding to eat about a minute of clock. So that's all positive. They're getting goals again. Dumba scored yesterday. Brodin scored yesterday. Zuccarello scored yesterday. So they're getting goals up and down their lineup. You know, the Hartmans, the Foligno's, you know, the Bukesteds, people like that. So that is good. And it's making up for the fact that Kirill Kaprizov and, you know, I think Kevin's been good, Kevin Fiala, but only one goal, getting a ton of chances. But, you know, you could tell that at times he gets really frustrated. Kaprizov, I just don't think has played well. And I know that he has five assists, okay, but he's had basically one part of a good game, and that was against Winnipeg. And remember, he had one assist and very few shots up until that final minute where he gets the assist on the Eriksson-Ek tying goal, and then obviously made the great play to set up him, Eriksson-Ek, on the game-winning goal. But for the most part, he's not getting scoring chances. And last night, just being so close in the press box, looking down on the ice, it is unreal to me how he doesn't seem to have explosiveness with his skating, just seemed to be loafing around the ice, not engaged, just really, really disconcerting watching him yesterday. And I think that's a sign of just a frustrated hockey player right now, that things aren't going right. But he was chasing the puck so much last night that it was very, very concerning. And hopefully he just gets one goal and now the floodgates open. But we'll see if that happens, because he's going to probably have a little disruption on his line here coming up in the next little bit. Back to the COVID protocols, by the way. The way it usually works, the way I'm reading the protocols, is that these players at a minimum are going to have to miss 10 days and could conceivably have to stay here in Seattle or take an air ambulance home. So we'll see how that works. But that is, seems to be the protocols that I'm reading right now. As being something the Wild are going to have to deal with. But it's just awesome to be in Seattle. Can't wait to get a look at that barn that doesn't have the center ice scoreboard, but two sort of twin scoreboards on the side. I did a Carson Soucy story I hope everybody reads. Who knows if he'll play on Thursday night. He was scratched against the Montreal Canadiens on Tuesday. And, you know, if Dave Hextall's like a lot of NHL coaches, he may not want to mess with a winning lineup. So who knows if Soucy will get to play his old team. But Soucy really walked me through the whole expansion process, what it's like to to be going to a blank canvas here in Seattle, and then obviously, reflected on his time in Minnesota. Just awesome to be in this really cool city of Seattle. I'm going to go sightseeing here in a little bit. Flew over the Boeing field today and saw a lot of those 737 Maxes that have been sort of retired or getting repaired after a couple of those dangerous those crashes I took a picture of this of Boeing Field and all these planes on the tarmac. I just figured they were new orders, and they were actually a cousin of mine that is a retired engineer for Boeing actually said those are 737 Maxes that have been sort of removed from circulation. So I thought that was interesting, but it's just beautiful city, being on the Sound here. Every time I'm here, you just want to get on a cruise ship and go up to Alaska or something. It's just pretty neat. Which, by the way, I've done out of Seattle before. So that is it. Really, really excited to have you listen to this podcast. I think everybody's going to really gain an appreciation of Nico Sturm. Again, just so well-spoken, but as we all know, a really, really good hockey player. Before we get to Nico, here's a word from a couple of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As mentioned, thanks to Nico Sturm for joining Straight from the Source. We're sitting here in the beautiful team hotel in Seattle. First ever trip to Seattle, I assume?
Yeah, Northwest in general. Haven't been to Vancouver either. So that part and Florida, that's kind of the two areas that I haven't been to yet.
Yeah, and it's just absolutely gorgeous here. I don't know if you looked out the way. You probably were sleeping on the plane last night. Probably couldn't see much, but it's just a gorgeous landing here in Seattle and Vancouver.
Yeah, I think I like the water, and I'm a big fan of rain and cloudier weather too, so I think it's a nice spot.
Yeah. So you know what the first question is going to be? I mean, how are you feeling today? There was a little scary moment yesterday. I was a little concerned for you.
Yeah, it was 10-15 tough minutes, and then it got better as the game went on, but that was it was painful. Yeah.
There's nothing in this world I think I would rather less than a Matt Dumba slap shot to the where.
It was tough a couple of minutes for sure. Just takes your breath away, and then you just gotta walk it off. It got a lot better as the game went on.
What did Matt say to you in the locker room during the intermission?
Yeah, he just apologized. I mean, it's not, it's one of those things. I mean, that's when coaches and players always talk about paying the price. I guess that's what they mean. So, I know that's where I kind of, score my goals, and that's where I gotta go. Yeah. And sometimes it hurts. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, what was amazing to me, one, that you came back, but two, I thought it was one of your best games of the season. Maybe I thought you were just an absolute beast in every zone. First of all, do you agree that yesterday was probably the best you've looked, or maybe that's relative, but it felt like you were on your game yesterday.
I thought I was really engaged. Yeah. That's probably the best way to put it in terms of, winning my battles. I think that was the biggest thing. Obviously, I think I get more ice time when we're playing with a lead. That's just, because, the defensive part of my game is just one of my strengths. So that's when Dino, he puts me out there and gave me a lot of responsibility last night. And so, it's just about, keeping that lead. He knows, he can trust me, and that's where he puts me out the most. So just that's where I do my job. Yeah.
It has to be really just uplifting the way that your line is played. I know that obviously everybody wants more ice time when you're on the fourth line, especially, but the fact that this is every game now in one goal games, you guys are out there with 2 minutes to go, 1 minute to go, 3 minutes to go. Yesterday, you get the center ice draw. You have the goalie at half, you know, at the hash marks, wanting to get to the bench for the extra checker. And what do? You go win your draw. It's huge.
It's nice playing with yesterday was Pitter and you know, before it was Bueger, but with Dewey, it's just so easy to play with because mm-hmm. he plays such a straightforward and similar style to me. And then I think, we got a really skilled guy yesterday with Rem, and, Bueger can shoot the puck too, as we saw last week. So it's nice to know that even though we're the fourth line, I think we've shown that we can create a lot of offense too. So it's not like we're just out there to, purely shut down other mm-hmm. lines. Although at the end of the game, that's obviously what we're out there for. But, you know, throughout the game, we're trying to create offense as much as anybody else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you guys have done a really good job of that so far this season. Let's talk about Halloween.
Yeah.
I guess you get to the Halloween party. What were you dressed up as, by the way?
Oh, I didn't put as much effort in as Bueger. I just had a can of Bud Light, and Taylor was a Bud Light seltzer can, and it was just a Amazon order costume. But Bueger definitely hit. He got the best costume award, so well deserved. I mean, I had Whitey. The night before we had played Winnipeg right at home, I think, uh-huh. and Whitey came up to me after the game, and he was like, "Hey, Sturmey, I got a buddy who kind of looks like you, and he wants to go as you for Halloween. So can I get a picture like of your haircut?" And I don't know why I didn't even like, I was so obvious, right? And I didn't even think of Bueger at all. And then sure enough, the next day I walk into the party and Bueger is just, I mean, he hit it spot on. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, the picture that Danielle Spurgeon put on her Instagram, I thought was hilarious, because even the way that he had his, like, the way he, like, put his head up.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was you.
Yeah.
And no. I was like, oh, I guess Nico didn't dress up for Halloween. And then dawns on me. It was him.
I mean, it's pretty, he got the haircut and everything. Yeah. So it was pretty, that was one of the best ones I've seen.
And then even better, Jackie then goes and somehow breaks into your, her parents' house, basically.
So I think Bueger knows they know the Turnquist, so they know them from I guess it's hockey related growing up or something. So I think they know their cousin, or there's some sort of connection there. So I think that's where how they got the jersey and the helmet and everything, but it was definitely one of the best ones that I've seen at a Halloween party. I think he did hit it spot on. Yeah.
And we all know it's Taylor Turnquist. So you have a family of two professional athletes, Nico and Taylor. Taylor wins national championships galore, then goes and wins a title with the Boston Pride. Now hopefully going to bring that to the Whitecaps as well. What was her reaction when she saw Jackie?
I was kind of the obvious one with Bueger, looking like me. I guess it was pretty easy for him, but then the fact that they got the full gear and everything with Taylor too, that was they got the combo done. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was pretty spot on. It was funny. Yeah.
Let's talk some more about hockey, and then I do have some great questions. We talked about your work ethic and you're engaged. Where does that come from? Because, honestly, like yesterday, just watching you, I thought of a young Mikko Koivu, just the way that you were working. Where does that stem from in your life?
I think that it was probably an unusual road for me a little bit to the NHL. I don't think it was necessarily maybe a guy that when he was 15, 16 that people looked at and were like, this guy, he's going to play in the NHL. Like when I was that age, I was so far away from being an NHL prospect. And, it sounds cheesy, but I really had to take it kind of year by year and step by step and set small goals. And I kind of felt like every new level that I reached, there were, people who that had their doubts about me, or did think that there's a certain limits there that I couldn't you know, I couldn't go any further. And for me, it's just about, you know, proving those people wrong, and knowing that, you know, just with my work ethic, that I can, you know, do a lot more than what probably most people think. And, you know, I approach not just hockey. I try not to just to approach hockey that way. I think, you know, when I was at school, I tried to, you know, put the same work ethic into my schoolwork. And, you know, I think if you take care of things, and it doesn't matter for me as an athlete, it's my body. But if I, you know, I think it counts for everybody else, regardless of what job you do. If you put the work in, eventually I believe that you'll get rewarded for it.
I got to ask you, by the way, like, so in Germany, I mean, do they teach you English right from the beginning? Because, I mean, you barely have an accent.
It's pretty early. I think I started in sixth grade. So, okay. And then I came over, and obviously my English was pretty, you know, it was like school English. I think all the slang and kind of the hockey lingo wasn't, that's just something that you pick up along the way, but I was comfortable right from the start just having normal conversations.
You mentioned your untraditional road to the NHL. You know, I don't know if a lot of Wild fans know. I know I've written it before, but they might have forgotten that you actually got your start playing junior hockey in Minnesota, in Austin, Minnesota. Yeah. So how did you wind up coming from Germany to Minnesota and then go to college
route? That was the hardest part, because, you know, the German junior leagues, they're not very well scouted. Mm-hmm. By people over here. So I kind of had to rely on kind of connections. You know, my family advisor went to Michigan Tech, and he's, you know, he's got a couple of, he lives in Germany, so he's got his family there. But he's obviously had some connections over here. And it was, you know, I got lucky with him that he kind of made a call to, you know, the coaches in the North American Hockey League at that time and said, basically kind of put his hand in the fire for me and said, hey, kind of take a chance on this kid. And luckily they did. And that's kind of worked out from there.
Amazing. And then that's where they Clarkson recruited.
So I played 2 years in the North American Hockey League. And then I was recruited by Clarkson in Western Michigan. And I didn't really want to go back to juniors as an overage kid. I got drafted by Tri-City USHL that summer, but I didn't want to go back. Play juniors as an overage kid that is not committed. So I and I really like Clarkson, you know, my visit that summer. So I really wanted to go to a good school, and hockey wise I wanted to go to a program where I could have a chance to be in a lineup in my freshman year every night. And so I saw it as a good fit. And so that's the summer that I committed. And then I played another year juniors and went off to college.
I'm amazed at how sometimes small the hockey world is.
Yeah.
And here your line mate is Brandon Duhan, a kid from South Florida.
Yeah.
Somehow winds up your junior line mate for Tri-City. You guys win a championship.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, years later, your line mate's in the National Hockey League. That's just bonkers.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Just kind of, you know, we, that 1 year in Tri-City, we had obviously had together, and I think he, you know, he's kind of a guy that, you know, I always, probably the same way as me. I think he was, you know, it was obviously he was drafted, but I don't think a lot of people were necessarily thinking about him as a, you know, guy that is going to be an NHL player for sure. You know, he's just because of the way he plays, you know, it's not always, you know, pretty, and it doesn't always show on a score sheet, but I think you've seen the last couple of games, like how good of a player he can be, and you know, even in the AHL, I think he played more of that grinding role. And you just need those kind of players. It doesn't mean that they can't create offense. I mean, you've seen his speed and his skill. And I think, you know, as he gets more comfortable and gets more games, and I think he's going to be a very good player in this league.
Yeah, and here you guys make up the most, arguably the most efficient line so far in the first six games of the season. Talking with Nico Stern, we're here in Seattle. Got to ask you about the Hoffer House. That's my favorite place in Munich. I know that's not your hometown. You've been there, I'm sure, right?
I think I went there with Taylor to summer that she visited like a couple of years ago. You know, I've been trying to bring her back, obviously, but it's been obviously very tough the last 2 years. So usually I don't go to Munich a ton when I'm back home, but when she's there, obviously it makes it worth a trip. So hopefully this upcoming summer I can I can bring it back.
Tell us about your hometown. You said that you spent a lot of your days also going to your grandmother's house for lunch and all that stuff.
That's pretty much my summer days. I work out.
You're from Augsburg.
Yeah, it's about 45-50 minutes from Munich. So I spend my summer days, usually I wake up and I work out at home. I got a full home gym that I kind of built out over the COVID summer because, you know, no gyms were open, and I got every machine and everything you could possibly think of in a gym I got it at home, and we got a nice big backyard where I can do my sleds and warm-ups and sprints, and then obviously in the summer you can work out outside, which is kind of nice. So I just get up and have breakfast, and I start my day with my workout, and usually I'm in the gym for 3 hours a day, and then I head to my grandma's for lunch, and then usually on the ice now two, three times a week as well in the afternoon. So, for me, the summer is more about, just seeing the people that, you love and just hanging around the family. I don't do a lot of trips or anything like that. I just like being at home and hanging out with my loved ones. Yeah.
And you said your grandmother is not carb friendly, right?
It's not. If you're looking on the, if you're a guy that looks on a scale every day, that's probably not for you. But for me, I don't think it matters as much, probably with workouts and skates, you're probably at 3,000-4,000 calories a day. So those are tough to replace anyway. So, I think that's just something that I need that in the summer. Yeah.
Jim had a funny question. What's your favorite thing, Spam or Spetzel?
I have to admit that even though I played a year in Austin, I never actually tried Spam. So, the Spetzel, we actually had it at the rink a couple of weeks ago. Our chefs made it. So
really?
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It was very good. Yeah.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
By the way, I've said this before, but I know Trey Toomey really well.
Yeah.
The Irondale former, he's from Irondale, went to University of Wisconsin, coaches in Germany. Did he coach you over there or?
No, he used to coach the town, the team where I'm from.
Right, in Augsburg.
And he's actually just got another gig about 30 minutes from
nice.
There. So.
And his son Parker now plays, I think, in Berlin.
Berlin, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's go through some Twitter questions. So hardest player you faced in the NHL, this is from Wild Boys.
I still think there's still a lot of players that obviously haven't played yet, but I think my very first NHL game was against Boston and Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah.
He's kind of that model center man that everybody wants to have on their team, and just because all the things that he does, starting in the faceoff circle. Not the hardest player in terms of maybe physicality to play against, but just, he does so many things right. He's defensively responsible, just that elite two-way center. So I think that's kind of just a guy that's just, one day you can say, hey, I played against that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So
you had an assist your first game too, right?
I think so.
Okay.
I think my first point came in Arizona the year when I was kind of up and down with
Iowa. I knew that, but you did have a really good game that game. I remember your family was here.
My family was
awesome.
There. That was neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Your brother, I thought he looked like your doppelganger.
Yeah.
Too. So
I got a lot of those.
Yeah, I know. You got between Bugie, great German word. Yeah. You're between Bugie and your brother. Here's a good one. And this could be a big question because every German town seems to have its own beer. But somebody asked your favorite German beer.
It's not. So I like it's called Radler. It's a mixture of like a light beer and a white lemonade.
Okay.
So almost like a Leinenkugel, like a summer shandy.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Funniest guy on the team.
Oh, Zuki. Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Here's a serious hockey question. We've discussed it before the Olympics. It looks like Germany is going to have a really, really good team.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to potentially getting on that team and taking part in that?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's marked on the calendar, and obviously there's a lot of hockey games left till February rolls around. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's on the horizon, and I'm excited about it, but I'm very, very focused on here right now.
Dogfather asked you, who was your favorite German player growing up?
Favorite German player growing up? It's probably tough because I think the weight is, you know, when I grew up, the NHL wasn't really marketed in Europe. Like there was no like NHL package where you could mm-hmm. see all the games and stuff. So for me, growing up, the only reason I knew anything outside my hometown team was because of, you know, the video games. Mm-hmm. So I really just idolized like the players on like the Panthers, you know, my hometown squad. You know, you'd be on the youth team and then you'd be in the stands for their games at night. So I didn't really have that one guy really.
Makes sense. Real Super Dave asks, favorite memories down in Austin?
Well, first of all, we had a really, really good team that year and we went to the finals. My favorite moment was in the semifinals when we won in game three. We were down in Texas and playing Lone Star Brahmas, I think. And I got a lot of good memories from that year just because of, you know, it was tough. I had a tough start to the year and I didn't really feel comfortable at first. It was kind of the first time I was gone from home for like, you know, 8-9 months, and the season went long. Like I was there for probably August till May or June, so I was gone for a very long time. Just the way the team came together and how the coaches Jamie Hoffman and Chris Tuck put me under the wing, and just I learned so much that you're not just on the ice. I mean, that's one part, but they're kind of the ones that kind of, I give them a lot of credit for the person that I am today. They kind of molded me and taught me of how to prepare, you know, how to do things the right mm-hmm. way, how to show up to the rink. So that year was probably the biggest year in my development.
Walter asks, what's your favorite Americanized German thing?
Americanized German thing.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Let me think about that. I'm going to get back to you on that one.
Let's see. Actually, this is a good one. Definitely not David. It goes, what did you major in at Clarkson, and do you have any post-hockey plans?
Yeah, so I majored in financial information and analysis, uh-huh. And I'm very, very into the financial world and the stock market. And, you know, I manage my own portfolio.
Wow.
You know, that's something I'm very interested in, and I thought about maybe at some point down the road doing grad school online as well, but for now I want to focus obviously on playing in the NHL. But I could see myself doing something like that. At the same time, you know, it's tough to walk away from the game, I think, after you're done with your playing career. So we'll see what happens.
Hopefully it's 15 years from now. You know, one thing I did want to ask you, and hopefully everybody read the story that I wrote on Nico and Taylor back in March or April when we were in Phoenix. It was really cool. I mean, she's playing for the Boston Pride last year. She's working with special ed people at an elementary school, at basically a school in Boston. And because you were here, you were living with her parents and her brother, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty neat that you had that ability.
Yeah, it was great for me. It was, you know, obviously my first really full year in the NHL. And you know, we all know there's a lot of up and downs, and I think especially at the start, I think it took me like 12, 13 games to get on the boards, and there's obviously, you know, there's some self doubts, you know, about that, and it's just nice. The year before in Iowa, I was living alone, and it's just tough sometimes when you come home, you know, after maybe a tough games or a tough couple of games where maybe things don't go your way, and you just come home to an empty apartment. Mm-hmm. I think that's just not healthy. Yep. I think for your head, and you know, it was kind of just nice having a family atmosphere and having people to lean on and talk to my first year.
And now what's really awesome is she now plays for the Whitecaps, so you guys get to live together.
So we haven't seen a lot of each other obviously the last 2 years since I left school early, so it's nice having her around.
A couple more minutes with Nico. I really appreciate you meeting. I love this question from Tanner. Who would win a race between Nico Sturm, Kevin Fiala, and Brandon Duhem? We might want to add Rem Pitlick after watching
last night. I'm going to go ahead and say if we go goal line to blue line, it'd probably be Dewey. but I'm going to take the full lab. I think if we go in full lab, I'm taking it.
This is not a question. This is from Jens. Not a question, but as a fellow German, I'd highly recommend him stopping by the Black Forest Inn on Eat Street in Minneapolis. If you haven't been there, great authentic German food.
It's actually great. I'm still looking for a couple of spots find some authentic food.
Strictly Wild says, does he know people collect his hockey cards because he has one of the best signatures in the NHL?
Yeah, I think people...
I've never seen your signature until this.
I've seen some on Instagram that there's a couple of people who are into that. Yeah. I just like, you know, about signatures. I'm kind of a guy who at least, you know, I tried to, when I came up with it many years ago, I tried to make it look cool. But at the same time, I kind of wanted people to be able to read my name so they know
of course
where, like, who this guy is. So that's kind of what I tried to put in there.
I mean, years from now, the people that have that, that's really cool. Last couple of questions. I love this. German themed rapid fire, BMW or Mercedes? By the way, this is Fetty Dean came up with this.
Mercedes.
Bratwurst or Weisswurst?
Weisswurst.
Schnitzel or Braten?
Schnitzel.
Spätzle or mashed potatoes?
Spätzle.
Red cabbage or sauerkraut?
Red cabbage.
Still water or sparkling?
Sparkling.
Pilsner or lager?
Lager.
Oktoberfest or how do you spell
Christkindlesmarkt.
There you go.
It's a Christmas market.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Great idea by him. Just last couple for you. Just back to hockey. I saved the best for last. But you were so good when you talked about this during training camp about being a UFA, pending UFA this year. And you mentioned right off the hop that you're a financial guy. You mentioned in our interviews that you're aware of the Wild's financial situation, and here you are off to this great start. It certainly feels like this, you know, this it might be tough to bring you back. I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, if I told you that I wasn't thinking about it or worried, you wouldn't believe me, anyways, right? I mean, it's normal, you know. It's your life, you know. It's not just your life. You're wondering about, you know, where your girlfriend or your wife or your family or your kids or whatever you have, you know. It's a lot, you know, at this point of your life, it's or stage in your career, it's, you know, not just about you. And I've mentioned it before, you know, how much I love it here, and I think, you know, the organization appreciates me as well, and I think that there's a good fit, and I mentioned that, you know, I'd love nothing more than win here. And with regards to the financials, I think it always sounds you know, so like it's empty phrase, but all I can do really is put my best foot forward, play my game, and show you know, Billy or Chris or whoever that you know, I'm worth, you know, having some of that money that's maybe opens up next year, having that allocated towards me, and that's all I can do. You know, I'd mentioned before that I'd love to stay here. And hopefully we can figure something out.
Last question, and Random Nick brought this up, about, you know, I mean, the one thing about you is that, and I know Wild fans really sometimes get frustrated that you don't get more of an elevated role on the team. I'm sure that you also sometimes are like, well, why can't I get more ice time or a bigger role? Will that impact, like, is it all about financials for you? Like,
it's not necessarily about, not just about the money, obviously. Yeah. Obviously, there's got to be, you know, somewhat of a fit there, but I think it's about carving out a role for yourself for your that you're kind of content with. And I think it's in the nature of every athlete that we always want more. I think, you know, I think Kirill scores how many goals last year? Yeah. You probably would like to score 5 or 10 more this year.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever have you. Cam has great year last year. He wants to make a couple more saves. So, you know, I think the moment you get content with what you have, I think you're not pushing anymore. And if you're not pushing anymore to get better, I'm not. So me trying to get a role maybe on the third line, which I think I can play, if I don't try to do that, I'm not pushing Freddie, who's in front of me now, or you know, Rasky or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. So that's how you get better in training. Like, this training camp was really competitive, I thought, because we had legit open spots, and there were guys were pushing for those open spots, and it wasn't a lineup that was set in stone. Mm-hmm. And I think that made everybody who was in camp better and brought us together as a team, just because of how competitive it was. And it's a healthy competition, you know. It's not like guys envy each other for whatever have you. Like right now, I know this is where Dino plays me. This is my spot, and I think I can help the team a lot in this role that I am right now. And there's nothing wrong with wanting more.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, Nico, I really, really appreciate you doing this, especially on an off day here in Seattle. Do you have any sightseeing plans today?
I might go see the space.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Starbucks hopping. Yeah, I've already been to about three, so yeah. Got to check them all out. Nico, thanks a lot. Yeah. I really appreciate it. I have a lot of respect for you. I can guarantee you I'm not going to Germany and being able to your native tongue, be able to do a podcast. So I'm always amazed when European players put that microphone up to their face and do this. So really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Nico.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you know, Straight from the Source isn't the only podcast across the Athletic platform. There are just tons and tons of awesome podcasts. One of my favorites is the Athletic Hockey Show. Craig Anderson of the Buffalo Sabres, the veteran goaltender, joins Ian Mendez and Hallie Salvian this week on the Athletic Hockey Show. David Backes, the great, great Minnesotan, quote unquote, one of us. He visits Craig Custance and Sean Gentile on the Athletic Hockey Show USA, and Eddie Lack, the former goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks, I believe Carolina Hurricanes, some other teams, I'm sure, stops by the Athletic Hockey Show with Rob Pizzo from CBC Sports and Sarah Sivian and Jesse Granger from the Athletic on Wednesday's edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. Thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. And please follow us on your favorite platform for podcasts. And don't forget to leave a rating and a review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. Start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, all annual subscriptions for The Athletic just go for $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com/straight from the source. Talk to you next week, everybody.